tried pushing.
The plan that we had set a condition
to
negotiations, I don't believe that Hubert's reaction to what he believed to be his proposal, namely that we appoint communists in the
Popular Front government,
would be like putting a fox in a chicken house. Now, I don't think that is a precondition at all, and I don't believe he thinks so.
I don't either.
But that distresses me.
I think he's trying to move from the Popular Front to the free election. That's what the impression Max gave me after his long talk with him yesterday, and wants to do it without actually shifting position.
I don't know who ought to do it. I certainly don't want to ask you to do it, because I got you involved one time when I just asked you to make a general statement in behalf of everybody. But maybe that we want to suggest to Max or to Averill that they say to him that, number one, they have examined this thing and that we do not feel that either Ball or you or Hubert said anything that we would want interpreted as a precondition that we felt, that Hubert felt, without consulting anybody, made his reaction.
Yeah.
But we believe that he felt that when they asked him if he was agreeable to appointing communists in this government, this interim government, he said no, that that would be like putting the fox in the chicken house or the arsonist in the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I saw him on TV this morning. I saw him say that.
Mm-hmm.
That was his...
He got a question.
Yes, he got a question. And he said it hasn't worked, and I just don't believe that you can... said, well, an analogy I would use, would you think it would be desirable? And he didn't say he wouldn't do it, but he said, would you think it'd be desirable to put the fox in with the chickens? And would you think that, what I think he's meaning, you'd have an East Germany or you'd have takeover or something?
Sure,
would you think, Czechoslovakia. Would you have an arsonist in the fire department?
Mm-hmm.
No. What else did they, so I think someone ought to say, we have no condition. I don't get that in mind.
Yeah.
And number two, we're not saying that he also said we said something about elections that he misunderstood. What was
that? Well, what he said was that we seemed now to be saying that we wouldn't accept any communists as the result of free elections, which, of course, we'd never said.
Never said that.
Said.
And I would say that, number two, that we want to assure you. If you don't have anybody else, I don't care. Don't think probably I ought to.
I'm going to call him anyway, Mr. President. I'm back in good business with him, and I got to talk to him.
So I would say that, second. And third, I would say that we do know what we want. And I think what we want is to cease the aggression, to stop fighting, to agree on a medium of having an election, to have an election, to take those people and let them rebuild their nation, and we'll help them and North Vietnam too. And I don't know, but I rather think that we might figure out the rework of Baltimore and things that we could do if we had to without saying so publicly. And we might have someone like that is not that doesn't surface like Gene Black go out to the Asian bank thing and either go to Rangoon or find some convenient place to say, here is our thinking, here's what we want to do.
They just shut down that channel. I'm not sure I've reported that to you.
No.
The North Vietnamese did. We did put in an aid memoir that was as forthcoming as we've been able to state, but we don't have any business going with them now. But I agree, a bigger figure would help.
And I think, just on the theory of your pause, that we could say that we have these things that you're suggesting, we have said them in writing, we've said them quietly, we've said them to Utah, And we've sent them to the North Vietnamese himself.
You want to get
and
a record?
It might be. I don't know where you could find one in that part of the world that he could talk to. But he could talk to them on a theory. He could talk to them on the theory that I have said that when this thing's over with, that we're going to have a big aid thing. And this bank is being formed. And here's the potentiality. Mm-hmm. And by getting into it that way, if they'd ever not run out of the room, then he could say this other, and we would at least have that. Now, Fulbright's very anxious for somebody big to talk to thing. He talked to Bill a long time last night, and it's confidential. I don't want anybody told, but he sent for him, and the essence of his position is, as I interpreted, that we shouldn't have gotten in there, that we're in there, that he doesn't want to get out. Doesn't want to admit he wants to get out, that he thinks that every man we add increased the danger, that we may wind up in a war, and he's going to say, I told you so if he did.
Yeah.
These are not our kind of people, unquote. He has a white, Oxford, European approach to it, and he has very strong racial overtones. And Bell said that he, for the first time, realized, although he'd been rather intimate with him, knew him well, his daughter was in the Peace Corps and they were very close, that for the first time he recognized that he had really vigorously opposed civil rights, not because he's from Arkansas, but because he believed in it.
Yeah.
Said he had a great hope for Nigeria, but he said, you see what's happened there, and said there's a... These are not our kind of people. They're not white Europeans, and that we oughtn't to waste any time on the people on the other side of the tracks. And Bill said that was rather distressing to him. I think that I'll get you this morning, and we'll review this. I think that if Rusk is up to it, we're not afraid of catching cold. I'm working more than I ought to and spending more time than I ought to, and I can't catch up. I'm just way behind. But I think that we ought to have McNamara and Rusk and you and me and Taylor and Helms and Rayburn and
Ball.
And Ball and
Vance, if he's around.
Yeah, Vance and anybody else that you think of. Your brother, I guess he's gone.
He's gone.
But now I understand that they're really slicing Rusk up around town, and I think some of the rest of you. Strange to say, they're quoting Harriman a good deal, which I do not believe. But he's out of town now. But there's been a lot of dinner parties going on, and at the crafts, the inside that I have, my spies tell me. I don't think you're immune from it. I don't think your brother is. But let me get you paper. And there's a memo there about. Memo there. Kraft is one of them. Hillsman is a very active one.
Yeah, I believe that.
He has been coming in and out. It started about 3 weeks ago. And the knives are out all around the place. The mood around the town is very black. Everybody is cutting up the administration. Plus Harriman, principally, in league with Schlesinger, Kraft, and a real mystery man about town the last 3 weeks, Roger Hillsman.
Yeah.
He's been in and out each day with new ideas and suggestions.
The most difficult problem the administration has is any leadership in the Senate. Mansfield is just, quote, not there at all. Long is a disaster as a public figure. He's on the bottle heavily almost every day now. Gore and Clark think the president is handling the Senate quite badly. They say consultation is no consultation at all. Nobody does anything.
Quote, preach at us. It burns them up for the president to come out of a meeting and say, everybody's for our policy, unquote. Now, I have never said anything like that. I think that some backgrounders, they said only two opposed spoke up in opposition, but I've never said anything.
No, that leadership meeting did burn them up because it looked as if the Senate was 18-2 or the whole Congress was 18-2.
Now, I rather think we ought to get a cable out to the vice president and say our liaison people, O'Brien's shop, recommend that we have Thursday morning, if he comes in Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, a meeting in the East Room at which the appropriations and foreign affairs and foreign relations and armed services committee be present. Now, if we can get the House committees the same way in that room, I'm going to have both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think we ought to get that out to him and see if it's agreeable to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we ought to say that this is a meeting where we want to counsel with them, and we don't want to preach at them, but that we're going to take an hour and a half, and the vice president's going to take 20 minutes, and he's going to attempt to cover the countries that he's been in. That's about 3 minutes per country, and how he sees the situation.
Sorry, I didn't get the time. The amount of time you suggested.
I'd say an hour and a half, and I would say 9 o'clock in the morning, and I would say that then we ought to have Rusk and you and Taylor and McNamara there, and then we ought to say at the end of the 20 minutes. Now the president, and the vice president, and these other four men will take any question any of you want to ask, and we'd be glad to hear any statement that you want to make. We hope that, in view of the fact we have 100 people, that you'll bear that in mind and keep yourself under the House rules kind of thing. And I think that could be a public debate, a catastrophe. But I think if we all guard ourselves and not respond in kind, and just say, well, I understand your viewpoint, and I think you express your feelings very well. It may be we should agree, but we haven't seen it that way, in a very moderate reply. Now, you give thought to that.
Shall I get a cable out to him when
you see a draft? Yes, I think you get it out right now.
You want to see a draft?
You can read it to me. Then I think you ought to consider what time today we can get together. Rusk is
what's
coming down, but I don't want to rush him. I'd find out what's good for Bob. I can set it. I've got a dozen appointments. I've got a terrific headache, and I'm going to try to, I guess maybe I need some glasses. I've been reading too much. But I would guess the neighborhood of 12 o'clock. Do we have anything firm that I keep back away from? Well, if we could see McNamara at 11, he wouldn't have to come back to the meeting, then we could have this meeting at 11:30. And you might get Gallagher at 10:45, and you might get Mann at 10:30. Let's see if it's agreeable with Rusk and with McNamara and yourself at 11:30. If it is,
no problem,
then go on and just set it firmly that way.
Right.
And
for about an hour, you think?
Yes, I think I would probably have Brom Smith, and I think I'd probably have Comer, and I believe I'd have Rostow.
Right.
He's writing some things
that they're rather good from time to time, and I wonder if you would, if you've got your New York speech ready.
No, Mr. President, I haven't. I backed away from that. Bill told me he didn't think you were going to talk Vietnam. I have got all the raw material, and if you want to talk it, I'll